This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. We start today with a question. Are we ready to do, will we do, what we know we need to do? Here is Massachusetts General Hospital physician Joseph Bettencourt on our air, April 2020, as we were just learning about COVID-19, raising the specter of who the virus might harm the most.
We know that natural disasters and disasters of this nature always disproportionately impact minority and vulnerable communities. And I think this one is no exception.
We knew before the pandemic even started. Fast forward 2 years, disproportionate rates of infection, rates of vaccination, economic impact from the pandemic, and then recent data analysis by the Boston University School of Public Health and the Boston Globe found disproportionate fatality rates for Hispanic and Black residents in Massachusetts. We knew, and it still happened. Can we keep it from happening again? We have invited Dr. Joseph Bettencourt back 2 years later to talk with us about that. He is Senior Vice President for Equity and Community Health at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Bettencourt, thanks for joining us. Welcome back.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Has it been worse than you even thought in those early days, Doctor?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been worse because it just kept coming back. And the damage we saw was just, happening over and over again. Fundamentally, when I was on 2 years ago, we did have hope that that surge would kind of go away eventually and that we'd be able to get back to normal. We certainly didn't anticipate Delta. We didn't anticipate Omicron. And we did everything we could along the way to address some of the disparities that I mentioned. But at the end of the day, we were, collectively as a nation, as a community, really behind the eight ball. We were behind, and it's hard to play catch up. So it's been hard. It's been difficult. It's taken a toll. And I think our topic today really demonstrates that, unfortunately, what we talked about and predicted at that time came true just as we expected.
You just said we did everything we could. I'm a little surprised to hear you say that we did everything we could. And I'd love to hear you just give us a quick rundown. What are the things we did?
And when I say we did everything we could, I think we did everything within our power to try to address some of these disparities. But, these waters that we were swimming upstream against are very powerful. They're longstanding. The kind of issues that led to the spread of COVID in the first place couldn't be quickly fixed. And so whereas we did everything in our power, and I'll articulate some of those things, certainly we were constantly swimming upstream. So what did we do? 2020, if we go back, we started quickly thinking about how do we get testing in areas that are being hit hard and do it in a way that's equitable, centering equity in that work, and then quickly pivoting to say, okay, when people are hospitalized, how do we meet their language and cultural needs to make sure that they're informed, that they're getting taken care of well? How do we address food insecurity that's happening or other, some of these root causes that led to these disparities in the first place that all became worse during the pandemic? And certainly when the vaccine came out, how did we try to do our best to make sure that we were messaging to the community in a culturally and linguistically appropriate way the importance of getting vaccinated and most importantly, positioning and putting vaccines in vulnerable communities? So, we did a lot. I'm very proud. But ultimately, when you're swimming upstream and at that pace and facing some of these big challenges, your best is not good enough. This requires, years of effort. And this is the challenge in front of us now is how do we prevent this from happening? And how do we apply these lessons to things like diabetes and asthma? This is really a lot about public health, addressing these social issues and issues of how we make healthcare more accessible to everyone.
So let's stay in the here and now for a second, and we'll also look ahead. I know you work with Dini Paulino, the chief operating officer of La Collaborativa in Chelsea, who says they have, quote, close to 50 members who have lost their breadwinners, end quote. What are the community impacts of that kind of loss, the public health impacts of that kind of loss today and going forward?
Any loss of life is tragic. 23,000 people, passed from COVID in our state, 1,700 in their prime years, right? The Globe made that very clear. And back in March and April of 2020, these young individuals were the ones that we were seeing being admitted and getting sicker. And it was really scary. And I think that was one of the scariest things about the pandemic early on is that the research we were beginning to get said, if you have a chronic disease, if you're older, you're going to do less well. And we knew that communities of color coming into the pandemic, suffering these disparities from a whole variety of reasons due to, you know, socioeconomic status, a social condition, the way COVID spread, you know, being essential workers, being hit hard, being hit early. You know, we all knew that, but we started to see people who were younger getting sicker. And it really tagged very nicely to being an essential worker and living in a vulnerable community in a place where there was multi-generational housing in a place that was densely populated. So we began to see that loss early. And the impact of that loss is devastating over generations, I would say. Certainly, if as we have lost many, many people who are incredibly important to us who are older, fundamentally, those individuals may not be contributing to the economic sustenance of a family and be a provider, right? And so while incredibly tragic, it's a difference no matter who you are, or where you're from, by race or ethnicity, if a caregiver is struck down, passes, and now you have a two-parent home that's a one-parent home, or God forbid, one-parent home that's a no-parent home. The impact on kids, on their emotional health, on their ability to already deal with challenging situations in their community, be able to, you know, fend off anxiety and depression due to the pandemic in and of itself, this will have implications in communities of color for likely a generation or two to come.
And just to underscore that, some of the data from the Globe Report on their work with BU, among Hispanic people aged 20 to 49, the death rate was nearly three times higher than for non-Hispanic white people. Among non-Hispanic black people, the rate was 2.5 times higher, just to underscore what you're saying. All right, so let's look to today and tomorrow. If you had to pick, like a dashboard, right, two or three levers that you would just want to see us relentlessly go after to improve our healthcare ecosystem for people of color and marginalized communities, what are the two or three things you would organize everybody around to work on, let's say, in the next, 12 to 24 months?
I think we are in a unique position in time and in this city to bring together resources from the public and private industry who now fundamentally understand the impact of things that we've been talking about, certainly for the 20 years of my career that I've been involved in this work. We have had long, hard problems that we have not attempted to solve in a collaborative way. And I think now is the time to really bring all those resources to bear, all those partners to bear, and finally tackle some of the big challenges and the big disparities we see. So I could list them out, and they're all the ones that you might expect, and we could pick a couple of them. Certainly maternal health and infant mortality are a very big one, and it's been a very big challenge for this city for years in the shadow of some of our best hospitals, seeing infant mortality disparities between black and white women that, parallel what we see in third world countries. So that's one, certainly. Chronic disease, so, what we call cardiometabolic disease, that spectrum of diabetes and high blood pressure, these really have a series of root causes that if we address them, we could stamp out a couple of them, right? So healthy foods, building up our public health infrastructure, more public space. So I would try to go for some of these that are sticky, some of these that are hard, some of these that we can ultimately address multiple challenges through a series of basic interventions. But we need to do that as a united city and as a collaborative. And I would end that this will improve the health of all Bostonians and greater Bostonians, not just those who are vulnerable. We will learn, we will deploy, we will scale activities that undoubtedly will not only address disparities, but improve quality and health outcomes for all in our city and around our city.
You just talked about the collaboration you'd like to see, and you said we now fundamentally understand. And that really struck me. You heard me say at the top of the show, we knew before COVID, we knew about disproportionate impacts. Is there something, maybe not everybody did know, maybe not everybody was paying attention. Have we collectively, in our collective conscience, learned a lesson we hadn't taken in before in these last 2 years between the disproportionate impacts of COVID, our dramatically increased awareness and public discourse around racism after, for example, the murder of George Floyd? Are we in a moment, even though there was data there before, where people know and understand and have will in a way that maybe we didn't?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the single biggest global case study, certainly national and absolutely local case study of racial ethnic disparities in health and healthcare and health outcomes. I think this touched everyone, and the data does not lie. This data is clear. It proves everything we knew. It was everything we expected. But, you know, I think over the years we've seen a lot of, well, but maybe not so bad, you know, a lot of kind of hedging, quite frankly, on the real impact of these disparities. And I think these last 2 years between the pandemic, between our national reckoning on racism, have really, you know, put all of this front and center in ways that are unprecedented, certainly in my career. And it's at these inflection points in history that we need to kind of, you know, grab as much ground as we can to make progress. And again, have the courage to take all the lessons we've learned and deploy them, not 5 years from now, but now. And I'm hopeful. I think we do have unity around this. And despite some, you know, political pushback that you might expect, I think ultimately we need to communicate to all of our community members, no matter, you know, what their race ethnicity is, that this work is the work of good health in the state of Massachusetts and in the greater Boston area.
So, Dr. Betancourt, in this vision for collaboration, especially to take on, you know, maternal health and infant mortality or chronic diseases, you talked about the private sector, the healthcare sector, government, nonprofits. We know who the leaders of those organizations are. We're not that big a city. We know who needs to come to the table. Are you seeing tables set, and are you seeing the necessary players sit at them now?
Without question. You know, I think it's exciting, right? Because we did that with healthcare reform. As you said, you know, everybody, this is a city that is well connected. And so if you look at our leaders, people like Lee Pelton now at the Boston Foundation, if you look at our leaders, you know, Mayor Wu and Dr. Ojukwutu, who heads up the Boston Public Health Commission. If you look at our health system leaders, our health center leaders, you know, a gentleman who I had the pleasure of being on this show with several times, Michael Curry. I mean, we have a critical nexus of individuals who are starting to come together to think, to strategize, and it will take resources, undoubtedly. But I'm excited about what this has catalyzed. And, you know, shame on us, quite frankly, if we can't make progress, given where we are and who we have and how we need to do this work.
So you sound hopeful.
I am. I'm very hopeful. And but, you know, hope carries us a long way. It's the evidence that makes a difference. And so we need to get about this work quickly. I'm hoping that now, again, with hope that this surge is our last, and we could really dig in on this in a very deliberate way and get, you know, all those people at the table, as you've said. And these are people who are willing to work together in ways, I think, that I've never seen before. And it's not because they didn't want to before, it's just they didn't have the right catalyst to set that table the way we need it and the way our community members need it.
All right. Dr. Joseph Betancourt is Senior Vice President for Equity and Community Health at Massachusetts General Hospital. Thanks for joining us again today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.